this morning, and to those who are visiting with us, I appreciate very much your presence. I hope and pray that the things we say and do here this morning will be of some spiritual benefit to you. I think if we will apply ourselves to worshiping God, then a time like this must encourage us and must build us up. And so, to that end, I invite your attention. I want to remind you that you have a responsibility to know the truth. You're going to be held accountable for the things that you believe in and the way that you live your life. And so you need to study and make sure that your faith is based on God's Word. Matthew 6, verse 19 through verse 34, is a part of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. We commonly call it the Sermon on the Mount because He was on a mountain when He gave this address. Very early in His ministry. And really the Lord is laying out for us some foundational pieces for what Christianity is going to be about and what we must do as Christians. He's really dealing with some thoughts and ideas about religion in that time, and He's comparing those with what Christianity will expect and demand, what we must become as God's people. And so, as we look at this small section in Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 34, keep in mind, if you will, a little bit about the background and the reason for the lesson. And what we find here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through verse 34, is the idea of a Christian's ambition. Our ambition must not be for material security, but it must be for God's rule. We must be ambitious as we seek God's rule and we are obedient to God's rule. The word ambition is defined as a strong desire to gain a particular objective. Specifically, the drive to succeed or to gain fame, power, wealth, etc. The object or the objective strongly desired. This is from Webster's New World College Dictionary, 4th edition. I would imagine that you had some idea of ambition before we ever defined the word. I cannot imagine a life where we do not have some ambition, where we are not strongly desiring something in life, that we do not have some goal that we are trying to achieve. Ambition is what motivates us. It's what keeps us going. It may be the ambition to graduate high school. It may be the ambition to graduate college. It may be the ambition to be a good husband or wife or to be a good parent. It may be the ambition to do well in this world from a business point of view. But we all have ambition, and we understand that. We understand the physical side of it. And we also understand that ambition can help us overcome great obstacles. I knew a young man, his dream, I know some of you won't look at this as a dream, but his dream was to go to Texas A&M. And he wanted to get a degree that would allow him to work in the extension service. He was not a particularly good student in high school. And in fact, one teacher, a very prominent teacher in this high school, one who taught many of the upper-level science courses, and of course, he understood that if this young man was going to be successful in what he wanted to do, he would have to take some science courses. And he just flat told him, you'll never pass. You'll never make it. What you ought to do is forget about college, and you ought to go out and try to find a job. Learn a trade. Learn to do something. And I'm not suggesting that that was necessarily bad advice. But the young man had an ambition. He had a goal, a drive. And sure enough, he was not able to get into A&M to begin with, but he went to Blinn for 2 years, did well enough there that he was able to transfer to A&M. And yes, he got his degree in the Extension Service, and yes, he became an agent. And he went on from there, and he got his master's degree, and then he got his doctorate degree. And not only did he work for the Extension Service, he was the head of the Extension Service here in the state of Texas for several years. Ambition. A motivation, a drive to do something. He had such a deep and intense ambition, nothing was going to stop him from achieving his goal. Now, I realize that maybe we all don't have the same level of ambition in everything that we do, but we certainly understand that there are things that take a great deal of planning and preparation and effort. Climbing Mount Everest takes a great deal of preparation. Learning to be a climber to begin with, getting yourself in shape, in enough shape where you can at least survive in part on the atmosphere. It takes preparation. The mountain itself is 29,035 square feet, or feet high, rather. This is according to the newest technology that they have. If you look at all routes taken, There are about four different routes that can be taken to the summit. Two primary, but two others that are a little more difficult. But if you look at all of the routes taken, only about 25% succeed. Now, some services that you hire have a higher percentage than that, but this is taking all things together. So a 1 in 4 chance, basically, to succeed if you try to climb Mount Everest. It costs between $50,000 and $75,000 just for the expedition itself, just for the climb itself. That doesn't take into account you buying a plane ticket and all of the, again, the preparation to get there. It's just the climb itself. It takes at least a 2-month commitment to make the climb. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is not for the unambitious. This is not for someone who is just a casual climber with a casual interest in climbing a mountain. This is something that is life and death. This is something that takes great ambition. Triathlon, the Ironman. Mile swim, 112 miles biking, 26.2 miles running. Do you have to have a little bit of ambition to be able to reach this level? Do you think someone like, well, let's say myself, could go out tomorrow? Why are you laughing? Could go out tomorrow and compete and complete a triathlon, an Ironman competition? It takes ambition, doesn't it? And again, I realize that not every goal requires this level of ambition. But some do. And I would suggest to you that if we're going to be a faithful child of God, we have to be ambitious. Where is our ambition? Is it with money and material possessions? Are we ambitious in this world? Do we want to be some kind of a professional athlete? Do we want to have power? Do we want to have our star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? What is our ambition in life? Most of us probably dream a little lower than these. But I can tell you this, if our goals and ambitions are earthly and secular in nature, then really the effect is the same. If we are driven by what this world offers, then we cannot possibly be spiritually ambitious. Remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, read a moment ago. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Why are we so enticed by earthly and material interests? Why are we driven by these things? Well, one of the points made in Matthew chapter 6 is that we are driven because of anxieties, because of earthly concerns. In verse 25 through verse 30, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. And then he goes on and makes the point that God takes care of his creation. He takes care of the birds of the air. He takes care of the lilies of the field. And besides, we cannot possibly even add an inch to our stature if we want to. God is in control of all of these things. And so he reminds us, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And so again, I would suggest to you that because of our anxiety, our concerns of this life, this world, we do not have the faith that is necessary to put God first. And I don't care if you are dreaming about being a star athlete, if you're dreaming about owning the largest mansion on this earth, if you're dreaming about being the president of the United States, or if your dream is much smaller than that, if they come first, then God comes second. And God will not come second in his life, in your life. Amen. Why are we so enticed by earthly and material interests? Because we enjoy them here and now. We enjoy what this earth has to offer. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Remember who Moses was at this time. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was a prince of Egypt with all of the benefits that go along with that title, that position. Enjoying this life, Moses had every opportunity and was brought up with the very best. But you see, Moses understood something. He understood that whatever pleasures, and sin is pleasurable, and the vices of this world offer a good time, as we define it, Moses understood that they were fleeting, they were passing, they were temporary in nature. And not only that, but he was able to look beyond them and to recognize where the true reward was. He was able to see past that and realize that the reproach of Christ, greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. And yet so often what we do is we get caught up because we can touch and we can feel and we can see and we can taste and enjoy what this world offers. Why are we so enticed by earthly and material interests? Because we do not see the earthly value of serving God. And that's the truth. We do not see the earthly value of serving God. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 14, we have there a context where Paul was defending himself And the fact that we do not take pride in what we've accomplished in this life, in this world. And he talks about those who are boasting in their position, and he makes the point, I am more. And then he goes on and talks about all that he accomplished as a Jew. And in that context, he says this about what he had accomplished as a Jew. Verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. That was his view. That was his mindset as he lived here on this earth. And realize he gave up much. You see, he saw the value more of serving God. Yes, it would mean that many of the physical pleasures of life would have to be put aside, would have to be controlled, would even have to be given up. And he was willing to do that. Why are we so enticed by earthly and material interest? Because we judge success by earthly measures. Think for a moment. The people you view as successful. Who are they? Would they be the Bill Gates, the Warren Buffetts, the Koch brothers of this world? By the way, I've just mentioned four, I believe, of the top seven richest men. What about Ronaldo or Messi or Messi? I don't know how to pronounce his name. Soccer players. Do you realize that they're number one and two in the world as the most popular athletes? Would that be successful to you? How do you judge success? In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So where should our focus be? What should be driving us? What should our ambition be? This man was pleased with what he had accomplished. His ambition, evidently, was to get to a point in time where he could just sit back and relax and do nothing and enjoy all that he'd worked so hard for. And he reached that goal. He was successful. But was he? Because you see, all of the treasure that he had laid up for himself was here on this earth. And he was about to die. And when he died, who would enjoy these things? Why are we so enticed by earthly and material interests? Because they appeal to our earthly appetites. Let's be honest. We are physical beings. Our soul housed in a earthly body. The Apostle Paul addresses this in the book of Romans chapter 7, verse 22 through verse 25, really that context around that. And the point that he makes is there a battle that's taking place between the inward and the outward man, between the spiritual and the carnal man, or the physical man. And he acknowledges that so many things in this life appeal to us carnally, physically. And no, we're not going to be successful on our own because we are going to sin. We are successful because of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He made. But do we have an ambition to be successful spiritually? I acknowledge that there is nothing innately wrong with wanting success. I cannot imagine going through life wanting to be a failure in everything. Is that your approach to life? Not mine. We don't want to fail. And we understand the steps that we take in life of success lead us on to bigger, to greater opportunities, to more challenges. And in fact, God wants us to be of that mindset. He wants us to press forward and to be successful, yes, in this life. Colossians 3, verse 23, Paul tells us that the things we do, whatever we do, that we are to do it with our all. We are to do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not to men. And what he's talking about there in the context is our work in this life. Our work before the masters, the employers of this life. He says, do your best. Yes, we want to be successful. Nothing wrong with that. But what is our ambition? If my ambition is that next raise, that next promotion, and then the one after that, when do I get satisfied with where I am? At what point am I going to be happy if that is all that is driving me? And besides that, if I am looking for material security in life, let me say this. There is no such thing. If my ambition is material security, then I can never obtain what I want. It's not possible. In Matthew 6, verse 19, Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. There is something about the nature of earthly things that always puts us in a fearful, uncertain state of being, way of thinking. This earth just simply does not have the capacity to give me security. It's impossible. I can work hard. The things that I've worked for, they're going to get old. I bought a brand new truck in 2001. Today it has 208,000 miles on it. It's not the same truck it was, or at least in the same condition. At some point in time, I'm going to get rid of it. At some point in time, I'm going to trade it off or try to sell it, and I'm not going to get much for it. It's old. And we understand that. We recognize that things rust. Things decay. We understand that people can come in and take what is ours. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. And this is the very point. Why would our ambition be on something we can never be happy with? I've reached this goal. What about the next? If memory serves me correctly, Bill Gates is supposed to be worth somewhere around, I think it was $78 billion. Now, he's worked for that. And I'm certainly not suggesting that in his efforts, in his good fortune, that he doesn't deserve what he has, because he does. And I understand that he intends to give much of his wealth away. And that speaks well. And I understand that however much money he increases probably cannot buy anything more than what he couldn't already buy. But the point is, and I'm not suggesting that that is his sole focus or sole ambition, but if it is someone's sole focus or ambition, it's just never enough. We always want more. in life if this life is what motivates us. It is a matter of choice. My ambition is my choice. I need to have priority. I need to see clearly. I need to understand what is important to me, what drives me. Going back to Matthew 6, verse 21, he says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" The point that he's trying to make is, whatever motivates you, whatever your priorities in life happen to be, those are the things that you're going to give your time and your interest to. If you see clearly, if your eyesight is good spiritually, then you're going to seek after God first. But if your eyesight is bad, in other words, if it's focused on the things of this world, then you're going to be full of darkness. And that darkness will be great. Understand that we cannot serve two masters. In Matthew 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus says, you've got to make a choice in this. Again, where is your ambition? Do you trust in the Lord? It takes a great deal of trust in the Lord. Because the things that I can feel and touch and see and taste and all of the pleasures of this life, it takes trust in the Lord to put them aside and to control them. And so in verse 31, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." We could make many points from this, but the one I want us to understand and focus on is the idea that we put the kingdom of God first. We are not like the world, so consumed by worldly things and by the cares of this world that we forget about God. We trust in God. We trust in Jesus. We have confidence that when God said, "I'm going to take care of you," He will. He will do what He said. And so, yes, there are going to be treasures in heaven. Yes, that is where we need to be building up for ourselves. Tonight, we're going to talk about these things. First, we're going to talk about the notion, the idea that we've got to wait for God's blessings. We don't. There are so many blessings right now in this life. But second, I want you to understand the wait for the ultimate blessings of God are well worth it. And so our focus, then, is on the spiritual. Our ambition is God's rule in our lives so that we can obtain what God offers. Now, if you're not a Christian, I don't want you to wait tonight to become a child of God. If you're not a Christian and you understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe that, and you're willing to turn your heart to Him, you're willing to repent, have a repentant heart, and you're willing to confess your faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized, I encourage you to do that this morning. Because truly your ambition needs to be on spiritual things. The trouble of this world, the trouble of today, is going to take care of itself. If you're a child of God and you've forgotten that, and maybe you've allowed the cares of this world to overtake you, and your ambition is no longer in just simply pleasing God and reaching heaven, that's not your primary focus, then get back to that. Ask God to forgive you. If you need to respond, do so. As together we stand and sing.